Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Recently there was a survey carried out on 13 to 18 year olds that found that a majority of young people think that there is a future career in gaming, for example, as a professional gamer. So it had us thinking if gaming is actually good for kids and should it be something that is brought into the school curriculum. To talk to us more about this, we're joined by Trina Campbell, writer and producer of the TV show Gamer Mode. Morning, Trina.
Morning.
So is this something that's going to be popping up on the leave in certain years to come, do you think?
I think yes, definitely. I mean, to put it in perspective, like, you know, the gaming industry globally is worth about $138 billion.
So, that's a lot of money.
You know, music is like around $53 billion, and even though none of us really went to the cinema this year, it, like, for last year it was around $12 billion in revenue for box office returns. So gaming industry is absolutely ginormously huge.
It's one of those things that I have to say, Trina, like, as a kind of a sit in the background and listen to these figures person, I always find it so hard to comprehend how gaming can be, say, 10 times as big as Hollywood, but its profile is so much smaller than Hollywood's. Where's that revenue coming from?
I don't know if its profile is so much smaller as to where you go to watch it. Okay, for example, if you were a big fan of Dota 2, which is the Dota 2 International Competitions, which has like a prize fund for the gamers who play in that of like 34 million, 60 million people watched that online last year. Mm. So it's like people are watching it and it has its own kind of viewership, but it's not the traditional broadcasting viewership. I mean, we were the first gaming show to broadcast in Ireland, and it's like it's 2021. It's insane.
It is insane that it's so big, and yet it is in a sense it's niche. But how can it be niche if it's $130 billion? Like it's such a kind of a paradox from that point of view.
But isn't there another paradox, Trina, in that, you know, I suppose that colours our attitude as adults and parents to it, is that one minute we're constantly being told that screen time is bad, you know, that we shouldn't be letting our kids plonk down in front of a screen for hours on end, and then on the other hand they're saying, well, no, gaming is a legitimate career, and maybe you may not end up as, you know, the best gamer in the world with millions and millions of subscribers, but you could end up programming games, you know, designing games, and you could end up in all kinds of software-based, and computer-based jobs. So we're kind of being told two different things at the same time as adults.
You're absolutely right. I think there's a lot that we need to do to demystify games for parents. Like, we've had this whole discussion about screen time and limiting screen time and all of those things. And then COVID happened and that kind of went out the window. But before COVID, I went to CBS in Monaghan, which is primary school up there, and I saw them using Minecraft in their classroom. So what they did was, instead of talking about World War One, they were getting the kids to build the trenches in World War One in Minecraft. So they were doing their own research. They were finding out what the weapons were. Everybody wanted to be in charge of No Man's Land because in there you could just blow things up. Like, they were historically accurate. And when you see kids like engaging with history through video games like that, you're kind of thinking, wow, this is so cool. We need to be bringing this into the classroom more. And that's kind of like that process of the gamification of education, if you want, where we are bringing more and more games into the classroom, not just in video, but like in things like using Duolingo for learning your Irish and stuff like that. So we have started that process, but we've gone through like this cultural shift. Like, in the old days where you tell people, oh, you know, a job in the bank would be amazing, you're now thinking that's not necessarily true. But if you were doing like games design in school and learning about coding and C# and Java and Python, the worst that might happen to you is you like wash out and become a coder on $100K a year. And that's not so bad.
No, it definitely isn't. I remember when we were kids in school, you know, and the projector got wheeled into the class and you kind of went, yes, this is the future. And then when you were in secondary school, it was like there was a computer room and they had like two computers for the entire school. Are, you know, what's the perception now among the students when it's kind of, you know, computers or gaming is being used in education? Like, is it like feet up, don't have to pay any attention now, this is the easy class? Or are there people actually, you know, genuinely using it in such a way that it can really educate the kids?
I think, like, I can't speak for secondary, but for definitely in primary, because that was, the show we did was very much aimed at 8 to 12-year-olds. They were engaged. They were so engaged. It was the highlight of the week. And you can really see, like, the difference in terms of the devices people have at home, where you have some kids who are just so happy sitting down in front of a desktop, and you have others who are trying to touch the screen because they're just used to having iPads at home.
Mm.
But they're in the process, and they're learning. And they're not just learning about history. I mean, they've started now through Minecraft and education talking about coding and coding principles and getting kids to design their own games. And they're involved from the get-go. And I think it's interactive. It's not like in the old days we sat back and with our projector and we had like kind of a DOS class and we let the information wash over us. This is like full-on interactive engagement for them. And I think that's what makes it really, really exciting, because this generation is a digital generation. You know, there's no way around it. We as parents need to kind of get down and play games with our kids to figure out what they're doing half the time. But this is where the future definitely seems to be going.
It's Dermot Dave on Today FM, chatting to Trina Campbell, writer and producer of the Irish TV show Gamer Mode. I mean, in a way, I think there's a misunderstanding about these guys who have millions of subscribers and who are professional gamers on YouTube. And I think a lot of the time, as grown-ups, we can say, well, they're just sitting there playing games and filming themselves. Sure, where's the talent or skill in that? But the reality is that for these and anyone who manages to make it on the likes of YouTube, they become like one-person production teams who can edit and present their what they're doing in an effective way, and you know there's an entire skill set there.
Couple of skill sets,
The gaming part is probably in the background there. It's the other stuff and their ability to communicate and present and then produce all this stuff themselves. And sometimes they become so good at it that they have to hire teams and now they're entrepreneurs. You know, so there's a whole other skill set in there, I think, that as adults, a lot of the time we don't understand either.
Absolutely. Like, it's 100% true. Most YouTubers that I know have really strict schedules that they're sticking to in terms of uploading content. They're engaging with their viewership. They're constantly looking for where to go to next. And we have good few Irish success stories in that area too. I don't know if you guys watch, but like there's a really interesting person called Kelly Fitzsimmons who runs Little Kelly Minecraft down in Meath. And like her channel has 2.8 million subscribers, 1.5 billion views. You know, she's probably earning about €1 million a year and has an entire team working with her down in Meath from having done those clips and games and reviews. So it is an industry that, you know, we should be looking at more and opening up to people and demystifying a bit in terms of getting people to think about it as this could potentially be a career, but it is hard work. It's not just sitting back and playing a video game.
What's the gender balance in terms of the success stories? Is it more boys than girls? Is it maybe a more level playing field than many other areas?
It is. Oh, it's getting really interesting because it was very boy dominated for a while, but you're seeing this rise over the last 5 years of girl gamers who are really starting to take center stage. And there's few that have like really been trailblazers in terms of that area, which is like Brenda Romero, for example, from Romero Games down in Galway, who's an amazing like award-winning games designer, who would have been one of the people working back in like, you know, in the 80s and 90s in games in Los Angeles. Like, you have people who are becoming more and more to the front in terms of that gender balance. And you see in terms of colleges, like the girls who are signing up in University of Limerick for their games design and masters down there, there are more women who are now applying for those kind of courses. So it has started to change. It still has a good bit to go, but it is starting.
What? I'd hate to be the dad here for a second, but like, you know, like the number of people who can become successful as, you know, YouTube and gamers or Twitch gamers or, you know, the top coders in one of the software companies or whatever, is it a little bit like, you know, when somebody wanted to be, or still wants to be a rock star or a football player, that, you know, there's a lot of you know, a lot of people just don't make it. And, you know, they end up only focusing on one thing and then having to deal with that for the rest of their lives, that, you know, that they spent their childhood trying to be one thing and then that just didn't happen for them. So, I mean, these success stories are amazing, and we have obviously, like, Ireland's so many. Jacksepticeye, the twins in Meath who do the Minecraft stuff. You've Dahi Dinogla, you've mentioned some other ones, but they're only the few, aren't they?
They are the few. They are the few, and they're the few who are at the top of their game. But I think there's a lot that we can learn from gaming across the board in terms of coding, in terms of cooperation games, in terms of exploring history in different ways, in terms of language. And also there are the people that we don't talk about a lot who, like, you know, who are doing amazing things with that platform. And that is, once you're gaming online, everybody is equal. And I'm seeing, like, a lot recently of, you know, Alan Corrigan, the disabled gamer, people who are using games to connect with people online who mightn't necessarily have had the easiest time doing that in a more physical setting because they're in wheelchairs or because they have special needs that have to be looked after. So, you know, gaming it's universally great for everybody. I think if you have a kid who enjoys gaming, it's brilliant. But if they're showing, like, real talent in that area and want to pursue it, I think as parents we should let them go with that, you know, and see where it ends up. Because the worst that could happen is you end up with a nice, like, computer science or interest in computer science or television or broadcast or media, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, well, UL have a couple of courses. They've got a Bachelor of Science Computer Games Development and an MSc in Game Design and Development. So there are legitimate outlets for this talent that kids show.
What do you reckon is the career path, the best one for kids who want to do it? I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I think in radio and TV sometimes, there's nothing like just getting in and doing the job. And you have a lot of people who study aspects of it for years, but it takes them a long time to just connect to it because it's all been in theory.
Yeah.
And it's just the practical stuff is just so much better. Is gaming one of those things where you're just better off sitting down, doing it, learning on the job? Or is it actually worth seeking out those courses like they have in UL and doing it from a more academic approach?
It depends where you want to go. I don't think there's any reason for your average kid who's sitting at home with a desktop not to start experimenting with making their own games, with having their own website where they have their own games, or for creating games on Roblox and see and have their friends play them. And that's how a lot of people start. I think, you know, those courses are great for when you start thinking, you know, maybe I want to work in EA Sports or Habs Game or one of those places. And in that case, I need my qualifications and my internship for 6 months with one of the gaming companies to get there. But for the average kid who's just starting off, I think it's a great way for them to explore and to see and to upload their game and to see the comments on it and see people playing it online and get feedback from that. The best way to learn is always going to be doing. But you don't necessarily have to have the most expensive gear or the biggest equipment. Like, I talked to both John Romero and Brenda Romero before when we were doing interviews for the show, and they were saying that, you know, John learned by going into the university next to his house and asking one of the kids in the science lab to teach him, like, how to use a computer. He taught himself coding, and he just started creating games when he was 15, 16. And you'll find a lot of people who are quite high now in the gaming industry started in that way as well. The best way is always to start and to just give it a shot.
There's a text in that says, "Morning guys, great to hear you talking about gaming. My daughter Lauren loves Gamer Mode and she's wondering when the next series will be on TV, if you could ask Trina. Thank you."
Oh God, I'm wondering too, Lauren. we really want to come back and do a second season. We'd really, really love to do it, and we had such a great time doing it with the guys at NRT, with Emer Mahoney and Suzanne Kelly and all those. I think we're just waiting to see basically about budgets. Like, I mean, there is a lot of stuff in terms of Homeschool Hub that got spent during the year, and we're trying to see when we can come back, because there was a huge interest in it, and we had such a great time with all the people who came in.
We look forward to a second series. Trina Campbell, writer and producer of Gamer Hub, Gamer Mode, I should say, and everything else you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us in Films and That today.
Thank you so much, guys.
Cheers, Trina. Bye.
See you, Trina.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.